This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, August 11th, 2021. The Memorial of St. Clare, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in God, in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
St. Paul is speaking about pressing on toward this goal that is the prize that he desires. This is about 20 years after his conversion. Almost a generation has passed since St. Paul was converted on the road to Damascus, and he speaks of this continuous pressing toward the mark. We have to kind of get ourselves anchored on the point that as long as we're taking an air in this world, that we are to be pressing on toward. We never get to a point where we're there yet. We shouldn't ever even get to a place where we would consider ourselves comfortable in this life. We should ever be pressing toward the mark, and that pressing toward the mark is normally just that, pressing. It is a tension between us and this world as we trudge through it. This is what St. Paul talks about, and he's been doing it for 20 years. We need to understand this. We need to appreciate that it is our Catholic life to continue to press on, no matter how long it may take. St. Paul speaks of having left behind the things of this world. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them refuse. Now, a lot of people would look at that all things, well, you know, stuff. He left stuff behind and he went on his missionary journeys. He forsook all things. He suffered the loss of his past religious beliefs. This is something, Paul was braggadociously a Pharisee of Pharisees. St. Paul was a religious leader of his day, a very well-respected religious leader. People looked up to him. He learned from the best. I learned at the feet of Gamaliel, he says. He was the upper echelons of Judaism. He left that behind for Jesus Christ. I deal with a lot of folks who are coming from different religious backgrounds, and they're seeking Catholicism, investigating Catholicism. One of the things I always point out to them is, particularly Protestant folks, I always point out, I say, you know, as you move forward, you have to understand that nobody's asking you to deny one thing that you believe, that everything that you believe, you will continue to believe as a Catholic. We'll just ask you to believe more. That's why, you know, when you hear this, the fullness of the faith thing, the fullness of the faith, there is more to being a Catholic than there is to being a Protestant. It's not a matter of me and my Bible or me and the Holy Spirit. It's a matter of me and the Holy Spirit as he has spoken through the church, in the tradition of the church. It is about me and my Bible as the church has interpreted the Bible throughout history. I always point out, I say, this is why this whole sola scriptura thing doesn't work. Because if it did, you'd all believe the same things. And they don't. Baptists believe this, Methodists believe this, Episcopalians believe that. They all believe different things that the scriptures alone teach them. It's not a matter of denying anything that you know from scripture. It's a matter of embracing what the church has taught you about scripture. And then the Holy Spirit can move with you as long as you're within those parameters. This is what you need to understand. St. Paul was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He believed in one God, the Father Almighty. He just needed to believe, in addition, that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, whom he sent, that the Holy Spirit that now indwelt him was part of a divine Trinity. This is what he had to believe without even knowing those words. Okay, he was asked to believe more. Even just mathematically, when I deal with my Protestant friends, I say, you believe in two sacraments, right? Baptism and the Lord's Supper, right? Yeah, you believe in the same thing. We'll ask you to believe more about either one of those two things and five more sacraments. That's more. There's not a denial of anything you believe. It's a building on it. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. He builds on what he has done for us. He brings a lot of us into the church in many different ways. And he has worked throughout our lives in this. And if we press on, if we trudge through this, if we work towards understanding more and more, this is what St. Paul shares with us. He did it. Now he expects us to do it. So, and guess what? If you were born and raised a Catholic, newsflash, folks, I'm thinking like 98% of people who are born and raised Catholic, they don't even scratch the surface of what the Catholic Church has always taught and believed as Orthodox Catholicism. Look around you. I will say no more. St. Paul, hey, if you're a Catholic, start studying your faith. Go back more than 50 years. Go back more than 50 years and start seeing what your church has always taught, what her piety was, what the practices of our faith were that engage us with the Holy Spirit, like corporal works of penance, the corporal works of mercy, the knowledge of sin, the reality of hell, and the avoidance of those things. This is our faith. This is what we need to press toward. And we're never going to get it while we're on this side, but St. Paul admonishes us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to do just that, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just grow in the grace, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. How do you do that? You got to study. And it's on you. The Holy Spirit is not going to miracle the traditions of our faith, the deposit of faith into your brain. You need to cooperate with his graces, and then you will deepen your faith. He will open your eyes to the truth. That's what Jesus says he's going to do. Convict us of sin, bring to the forefront of our mind the things Jesus said, and then make them true for us. This is why you believe the things you do and your friends don't. You have been the beneficiary of cooperating with the grace of the Holy Spirit. You didn't get that way by accident or because you're all that nifty. You did because you cooperated with the graces of God. And if we look at it too, we should leave behind the way we used to look at things. There's going to be, you know, moral things, theological things, you know, liturgical things. Okay, we leave that stuff behind. And we do what our Lord has mandated and the way the church has practiced. This is that pressing forward. Knowledge of Christ. So we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. But just that knowledge in itself is not, you know, this mere intellectual acquiescing to the truths of the faith. That's not enough. That's not enough. This is where stuff comes into play. This is where, and when I say stuff, I don't just mean material blessings. I mean honors. St. Paul. I mean, the guy was beloved by the Jews. Okay, this is why they gunned so much for him. What do they care if some simple shepherd person becomes a Christian? Okay, that's no big deal. Yeah, we just blow that off, you know, put him in prison, kill him maybe, stone him. That's not a big deal. But when Paul, Saul of Tarsus, becomes a Christian, oh, we cannot have that. We cannot have that. We got to get him out of here as soon as he possibly. Why? Because people will listen to him. Because why? God will build on what St. Paul was. And he did. He gave it to be a Pharisee of Pharisees, to the doctor to the Gentiles, writer of 2/3 of the New Testament. Kind of interesting. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, the testament that his people deny. This is how God built on this foundation. After Saul threw away his presuppositions of the past and moved forward. This is what happens with the power of the resurrection. This is the power of the resurrection and the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit. It gradually brings about us a transformation. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds, Romans chapter 12, first few verses. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. This is why it is so disturbing, to use a gross understatement, to see the church embracing the world in our day and age. Try to conform the church to the world when the Holy Spirit says, be not conformed to this world, but you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, this renewal of your mind that will take your eyes off of the things of this place and put them on things above. This is the admonition of St. Paul. So this gradual transformation, and it could take years, decades. St. Paul, 20 years, he writes this to the Philippians about pressing on toward the mark. This is the upward call. This is that keeping our eyes fixed on the things that are above, an upward call. St. Paul, as he winds what we had in the lectionary today, as he winds down, he starts to speak of the benefits of this trudging forward. And he puts it this way, since I have been snatched up, verse 12 of Philippians 3, I've been snatched up. What is he talking? Snatched up? What are you talking? The road to Emmaus? The road to Emmaus, where he got snatched up, he got knocked down. He's knocked down on the ground. He's struck blind by our Lord. This was the first move of God, the first move of our Lord into St. Paul's life. So I've been snatched up. Then he goes on, said, he has reached a maturity. It's not a matter of, for your whole life, you're a babe in Christ. No, you're not. You shouldn't be. The scriptures teach us that we should always desire the meat of the word, not the milk of the word like babies need. You need to grow past that. But even as we eat, as we get older, we eat more and more. We eat more and more solid food. We get stronger and stronger and stronger. So it continues. We mature. We then who are mature are the ones who press on. Because not only do we press on, we start to be strong enough to nurture others, to either put our arm on their shoulders and kind of give them a little nudge, or get behind them with our shoulder and push them, or at times even drag them. This is what we're supposed to do. Sometimes literally, not just figuratively. But at the end of the day, this is that process forward. This is why we don't trudge through this ourselves. We have a church. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. We have those Simon of Cyrenes who help us pick up our cross that we carry daily and follow our Lord. This is working one with another, and we're all nurtured to do that. Hearkening back to Sunday's homily, this is what we're strengthened to do, that first and foremost in the Eucharist and in the confessional, where we see the graces to be able to not only press on ourselves, but help others press on also. This is our Catholic life. This is the dictate of the Holy Spirit through St. Paul. This is what he means about pressing on toward the goal. Because what's at the goal? A prize. He doesn't say to cross the finish line. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. A prize. We get a prize if we press on. And St. Paul, I'll leave you with this. He said, look at what they do. The Olympics just got done. All the time and effort and years of sacrifice and effort those people put in to get something that for some of them, probably 10, 15 years now, be in a pawn shop. But who's going to have it 100 years from now? Oh, a member of my family. Not you. Not you. But we strive for a prize that's eternal. This should be a catalyst for putting forth maximum effort. In the Father, and Son, and of the Holy Ghost.